It says, hello. That's how this H-Y-L-L-O, hello. How are you and your family? I am in prep class. School is fun. Thank you for loving me. I wish you a happy Easter. And then there's a, I guess, that's a language that I don't know. It's probably a sentiment or a salutation of some sort, I'm sure. But I'll have this up here. If y'all, you can come by and look at it afterwards, and then we'll have it hanging. But that's just something that part of the money of the church goes to. We support three. We have adopted three kids, so part of anything that you give goes that way. So that's just something where you can see it in action. Also, a quick announcement. Pastor wanted me to say that Saturday night here at the church, David Maloney is going to be here again at 6, and he's the financial guy that comes in from time to time and does a, you know, like a little seminar talking about how we can take control of our money, you know, the way that Christians should and things like that. So he's going to be here this Saturday at 6 p.m. You can come. I'm sure there'll be coffee because somebody will be here that can make it. I didn't know how much to put in it, so that's why there is none. I'm sorry. All right, the last few weeks we've been talking about frozen faith, or things that can cause you to grow cold in your relationship with God. And the first thing we talked about, I'll just go over real quick, was character cruise control, or neglect of your duty, as in reading your Bible daily or every other day, whatever, praying. That's some things that we need to be sure that we are always doing. That way we can keep from, you know, losing interest or losing that zeal for God that we have, you know. The second one, we talked about coming to church or not coming to church. And one of the main reasons that I come is for accountability. You know, if I have a choice to make a bad choice, then I have someone here, I have all of you here that say, you know, y'all are watching. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like just because I'm standing here that I'm perfect and that I make all the right choices. You know, so you being here or whoever's here on Sunday, you know, that keeps me in check. So that's a part of coming to church that's important. And when I talked about staying on the sidelines or not getting invested in church, just coming and kind of just warming the seat, you know, not really getting involved. You know, we have all kinds of serve things going on all the time, helping people, and there's all kinds of ministries that goes on. And an easy way just to tune it out is just to come in, sit down, amen, and leave. So one way to keep yourself warmed up is give you a place to do something. And I don't know if y'all noticed the new slide, but if you're interested in the help serving on the praise team, there's a process that's coming up. It's going to be going through, and they've got some brochures back in the Welcome Center if you're interested on that. And that's one way that people can invest. Also, I talked about life's obstacles, how if something bad happens, you can blame God, you know, and get mad at God and then just shut Him out, which frequently happens. Or you can blame other people. You can blame church people, which we usually won't blame ourselves. And then I talked about we also blame the devil. Then we talked about complacency, which is just happy where you are. You know, I'm good. Now, you know, I've come to church for a while, so I'll just hang out, you know, and just go and take it easy. And that's where me and Don was talking earlier, that when everything's going great, you'll just put your guard down, you know, and that's when something can catch you from behind. You know, that's when the devil or a bad attitude or something like that can catch you off guard and throw you off course. And the last one we talked about last week was ministry mishaps. And that's where you get involved in a ministry and it wasn't the right one for you. You thought it was, but it wasn't. And a lot of times we'll get into that and we'll start working in a ministry. And if it doesn't work out, we feel like we failed, you know, or we let the leader of that area of ministry down. And I talked about that we should be more like an escalator. And I said, you know, it goes up, it goes down, but when it breaks or when it quits working, it doesn't fail to do its job because it becomes stairs and it can still go up and down, but it's just more work. So that's what we've talked about so far. We're going to get right into it with the last three. The first one is people close to us. People close to us. Our relationships can cause our faith to become frozen. Have you ever had somebody that you hang out with or are friends with that every time you're together you get in trouble? Or you tend to, you know, get a little closer to that line than you want? You know, my cousin was that way for me, but we won't talk about that. Well, one time when I was in, I don't know, I think I was in high school, probably was. You know, sometimes they have those tournament games and they invite the whole school to ride the bus. And so we were going to ride the bus to like Mammoth Springs, I think. And the bus was leaving at 4. And if I rode home, I wouldn't get home till 4:30, so there was no way I was going to make it. So a bunch of us just stayed after school and was running, just running the building like crazy because no one was there but the janitor. At least we thought that. So we're running around and there's, you know, there's guys, girls everywhere, and some of the girls are in the bathroom, and a couple of the guys that I'm running with says, "Hey, let's go in there and hang out with the girls," you know. Not to do anything like that, okay? I was a shy kind of kid, so anyway. So I say, you know, sure, they're doing it, I'm doing it, we might as well just go for it, you know. Nobody's here anyway. So we just go in there, and we're just kind of sitting there, talking, hanging out, you know, sitting like this is the sink. So I'm probably doing pretty much about like this. And the door's right there. And somebody goes in or comes out or one or the other. And about that time, the principal walks by. I mean, it just, I look, he looks, it's just like all of a sudden it's just a zone. His face and my face. Scary, scary. So that's, you know, wrong people. People can get you in the wrong situations. And I was going to tell parents about this. If you have a kid that's in middle school right now, this is for real. I'm just not kidding. There's this game going around called the ABC game. So you might check your kids out, check their hands, usually like right here. They're playing this game where they either take their fingernails and they scratch it as hard as they can till they can say the ABCs. You know, they try to do it the whole way through. And it's really scarring them up or, you know, making them bleed and stuff like that. It's like a tough thing. So you might talk to your kids about that. If they haven't come into that, you might talk to them about it. Or if they have, you definitely probably want to talk to them about it. I had an experience with that today. Went to school because Rennie needed a new insulin pie on. So I go up there and the nurse stops me as I'm coming in and says, you know, she tells me that whole story. Rennie comes in. She is asking for a Band-Aid for her hand. And I don't know, y'all know my kid. She's, you know, runs around here all the time, you know, giddy girl and all this. And she says she's played this game that they're playing, and all the kids are playing it, and they're fixing to start suspending kids for doing it, which this was after Randy got, but anyway. So I bring her in, you know, and want to talk to her about it. And I don't know, I'm not an amazing communicator, as you can ask my wife. So she comes in, and I said, I seen that Band-Aid on her hand, and I said, I don't want to hear anything about this ABC game ever again. And she's like, she starts telling me that these kids are all circled in this room. Apparently at some point of the day, the teacher goes out for duty at the end of class and leaves the kids there just for a few minutes while change of classes. So all these kids are gathered up in the huddle and they're all basically doing this game. And according to her report is, they said if I didn't do it, they were going to do it for me. So the fatherly instinct of me, before I think, it just happens. I'm not perfect. Remember, I say, well, if they do that, just punch them in the face. You know, so, not the best advice, but she didn't do that I know of yet. But then I pulled it back, you know, and I said, well, you know, run out of the room. You know, if they're threatening to do that to you, run out of the room. Teacher's right outside the hall, and she was afraid she'd be in trouble if she ran out. So anyway, that's same thing. People that we are around can get us into trouble and cause us to get away from God. You know, they can cause that gap, kind of like Rainey. You know, she's always talking about wanting to sing and worship God and stuff like that. And then this one little thing, and that's what I told her today. I said, this one thing, she's a tattletale. I'm sorry, if she sees kids at school that's doing stuff, she caught a kid on the bus the other day trying to hand a guy some dip, you know, some skull on the bus. So she told. And I told her that that was the same thing. You know, she done the same thing. She accepted that tobacco from that other student. And that kind of put it, she kind of lined it up on it then. She kind of understood what I was saying about the peer pressure thing. But as adults, do we have to worry about peer pressure? I mean, generally, I mean, when I think about peer pressure, I think of teenagers. You know, it's all about teenagers. We're adults. We know what we're doing, you know. But for us, it's usually family, a lot of times family, or even close friends, and even sometimes church friends. Listen to this. This is in Deuteronomy 13 and 6. I'll give you a chance to get there if you want. Deuteronomy 13, 6. I was thirsty. All right. 13, 6. Even your brother or your son or your daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend may secretly encourage you to worship other gods. Gods that you and your ancestors have never worshipped. Verse 7. Some of them may encourage you to worship the gods of the people who live near you or the gods of those who live far away. But do not let any of them persuade you. Do not listen to them. And that, this is talking about, you know, other gods, idols. And just a quick rundown definition. If it's an idol, it's anything that comes between you and God. Anything that comes between me and God is in essence an idol, okay? So it could be anything like if you're, you know, maybe my friend said, hey, we're starting up a horseshoe pitching league. We're going to have it on Sunday at 9:30. Are you in? You know, that's a chance. I'm not saying horseshoes are bad because they're good. I like them. But that's a chance right there to put that between you and God. You know, also, you know, your spouse, either side, you know, might decide they don't want to go to church anymore. You know, they might feel like they don't want to do it. That can cause you as well to say, you know, I need to decide, you know, that's a tough call, really. I mean, we know we're supposed to choose God first, but it's a lot easier to say that than to do it. You know, if my wife's saying, hey, you know, we're not going to go to church today, it's tough. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I don't have to deal with that, but co-workers, you know, at work is same thing, you know. What generally happens around my business is complaining or gossiping, you know. It's like they're always trying to say, well, that dude's the worst, or they're trying to take my money. That's what I hear all the time. They're costing me money. It's just they can get you in that circle that just, you know, gets you down and gets you just thinking bad. I don't understand it, but that's what happens. But a majority of the time, the pressure comes, or the bad influence comes from someone that's close to us. Teenagers, I mean, most of us know, teenagers look at movie stars, athletes, you know, musicians. They're looking at people that they don't necessarily know. They wish they could know them, but they don't. But for us, you know, I'm not going to watch Michael Jordan on the Hanes commercial and think I got to go buy some Hanes. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's more of a maybe a me and Denise thing, you know. Denise might make me do something better. People that we're around frequently, it's not like if somebody asks you to do something automatically, you're off the track. Y'all know that, right? I mean, it's like a little bit here, a little bit there, you know. And finally, next thing you know, you're just way. You're crazy. I mean, you're way off course. Listen to this. This is a quote by Billie Jean King, who was a tennis player, in case you didn't know that. No matter how tough, no matter what kind of outside pressure, no matter how many bad breaks along the way, I must keep my sights on the final goal. To win, win, win. And with more love and passion than the world has ever witnessed in any performance. And obviously she's talking about tennis, but I mean, we should be the same way, you know, with God or our relationship with God. We should be looking to make it better. I mean, and more than anyone's ever seen. That's what she says. She says, and with more love and passion than the world has ever seen. Is that our goal? To make people see that we love God and we have a passion for God more than anyone has ever seen. That's a tough challenge to do, but that's the way we should be. I mean, that's the goal. That's the reason we're here, right? I mean, the goal is to get closer and closer and closer to Him. All right, let's go on to the next one. The second one is attitude or outlook. The wrong perspective in life can cause your faith as well to be frozen. It's easy to choose the wrong attitude or perspective in tough times of our life, but how we look at something can change it. How we look at it can change it. Everyone do this with me, okay? Y'all are sitting, I'm sitting. Take your index finger like this. Seriously, y'all can do it. I'm not going to laugh at you. And turn it around clockwise, right? Is this clockwise? Like if you look at it, do this, take your hand up, all the way up. It's going clockwise, correct? Now bring it down. Bring it down. Bring it down about to your waist and look at it. Which way is it going? It's going counterclockwise. Did I change the way your hand was moving? No. I changed your perspective. Perspective is powerful. How do you look at life? I know y'all are mesmerized. It's amazing. I was equally amazed when I saw that the first time. We had a conference for work. They always send me to a conference to better ourselves, how to deal with people better, you know, all these kind of things. Ron was probably there at one point, and this lady done that, and it just blew me away, you know. And when I'm in those conferences, immediately I try to apply what I hear in a spiritual sense. I mean, it kind of threw me out once we had to write out this big long thing about what we're going to change, you know, and mine was all about, I'm going to read my Bible more, and everyone else was like, I'm going to try to do my job better. And it was, anyway, that was odd for me, but anyway. So how do you look at life? Is everybody out to get you? Is that the way you look at it? If something happens, say me and Rodney have a disagreement and he upsets me, do I look at it as he was intentionally trying to hurt me? You know, that's usually basic, you know, human nature. We tend to see the worst first, right? I mean, if somebody does something, it's automatic defense mode. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm sure a lot of people are guilty of it. But what we need to do is change the perspective. When I get into that mode, and sometimes I can't correct it, but sometimes I try to make myself think, what were they trying to do good that caused this? You know, what were they trying to fix or miss that this happened and it was a disagreement, instead of, why were they trying to get me? You know, why is Rodney trying to ruin my day? You know, it's no different. The situation isn't changing. What happened, whether what he did or what I did, didn't change. It's the same thing. The only thing that changed was our perspective. Okay. Oh, sorry. As we keep going in that negative mindset, it tends to bring us down. I mean, like Angie said, she had a bad day. She could have decided, I'm not singing tonight. I'm going to sit down here, not sing. And she more than likely would have got lower and lower. You know, she would have started feeling worse and worse and worse. But instead, she chose to do the opposite way, to change it. Oftentimes, that mentality or that thought process can show as a gauge or an indicator of how our relationship with God is going. If oftentimes somebody gets me and it throws me off the handle or upsets me, I mean, just quick, it's a pretty good indicator that me and God ain't just right. You know, I think it's probably pastor that says, you know, if this ain't right, then this ain't going to be right. You know, if your vertical's not right, then your horizontal's not going to be right. I can't really love people if I'm not loving God, or vice versa. If I'm not loving God with everything I have, then I definitely can't love people with everything I have. And that's what the two commandments are, you know, the two greatest, right? Love God, love others. And that
I mean, you can't have one and not the other. If you don't love people, then I can't say you love God. Not with everything that you have. James 3, verse 9 through 12, says this. Let me get a drink real quick. Sorry. James 3, verse 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And that's basically what I was saying. You can't do both. I mean, you can't be full on God and not full on people. You can't be full on God and not full on, I don't care what Gary does, I love him anyway. That's the principle. It's right there. Right there in the Bible. It's amazing how it's right there. Another one, Luke 6, verse 43. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And that verse 45, the good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in his heart. It's stored in there. What's coming out? What's coming out of you? It's what's stored inside. Now, I'm not saying if you slip up and say a cuss word at work because you smash your hand with a hammer that you're all bad. But it's in there. There's some in there. There's some not in there. And that's why we have the whole renewing of the mind. And we had a guy here that done an illustration one time. You take a glass of Coke and you begin to pour water in it. And that's kind of what renewing our mind is like. If we just poured a little dab in there, there would be some good in it. There would be a little water, but the appearance would still be cloudy. It wouldn't be perfect. But as we keep putting more and more and more word and more God's principles in us, it gets clearer and clearer. And that's the same principle. So what's coming out of us? What's coming out of me? Is it positive? Is it encouraging? Is it lifting people up? Or is it always negative? Or is it always bringing somebody else down to make me feel better? And that's an easy game, I guess you'd call it, to get into is making people feel down so it can make me feel up. But that's basically what the scripture's telling us is it's in there. We just got to wash it out with the word. Charles Swindoll summarizes a positive attitude the best, just like this. This is kind of long, but it's amazing. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, the education, the money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude. We will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. And that's what we said. We can't change the situation. We can't change what happened. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that's our attitude. And he says he is convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. So it is up to us to change our attitudes. And I'm not saying he says it's more important than truth. I'm not saying that it's more important than the truth of the Bible, okay? But the attitude is basically like the motor. It's going to either pull you forward or pull you back. And that's just the easiest way I can say that is, I mean, that's just it. Attitude is key. And it may be 90% like he says, because if I'm going good and I'm feeling great about it, then I'm just that much higher. But if I'm going down and I'm feeling down, it's just the opposite. Attitude is what is the key, okay, to, you know, getting close to God in that aspect. The third one, well, I don't have my phone and don't know what time it is or anything. The third one is I titled it, it's an odd title, I know, Church-Only Worship. That's the only thing I can think of. Or lifestyle, you know, worshiping in your lifestyle. We have to keep God in front of us all the time. It's not, you know, it's not the deal where I come here, you know, I'm going to come up here and say, you know, say all these words, and then tomorrow I'm going to go rob a liquor store or something, you know. We got to keep God in front of us at all time. Worship isn't just something like we done a while ago. I mean, that was worship. That is part of worship. That's a big part. But it's also how I conduct myself elsewhere, right? How do we worship God outside of church? And here's a small thing. I found this. You know, I didn't really find it. God put it in there, but it was there for me to find. Psalms 51, verse 15 through 17. Psalm 51, 15 through 17. All right, verse 15. Help me to speak, and I will praise you, Lord. Offerings and sacrifices are not what you want. The way to please you is to feel deep sorrow in our hearts. This is the kind of sacrifice you won't refuse. Offerings and sacrifices are not what you want. The way to please you is to feel sorrow deep in our hearts. God is more interested in what you're feeling in here. When you were singing a while ago, He was more interested in what you were feeling on the inside. What were you thinking about? Were you thinking about, am I getting the right line? You know, or am I saying the word? Am I getting, you know, or were you thinking about what the words were saying? You know, with all I am. Were you thinking with all I am? When you were saying it, were you thinking it? You know what I mean? I mean, that's what He's saying. He's saying He wants us to feel it inside, not just, you know, woo, yeah, I love you, Jesus. But feeling it when you do that. I mean, it's okay to do that. It's okay not to do it. But feeling what you're doing, you know, feeling whether you're doing it or not. Just feeling it inside. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. And I think Paul chose examples of eating and drinking because that's the simple stuff. That's the simplest thing that we do nearly is to eat and drink. And he's saying, he puts those in there. Eat and drink, and whatever you do, give God the glory. And I think that's why he done this, is because we should do it with everything. Whatever, no matter how big, how small. That's why, you know, when you're in Sunday school or whatever kind of class you're in, and they always say, no prayer is too big or too small. Because it's not. None of them. Anything is big enough to give God glory for. Like when you're at work, is God your boss at work? Or if you're the boss at work, is God your boss at work? You know, I mean, it's really simple. I know I'm a simple guy. When you're dealing with people, you know, when you're dealing with strangers, when you're dealing with your kids, when you're dealing with your in-laws, when you're dealing with your pastor, Are you doing it to the glory of God? Or are you looking at that angle? Are you trying to find that right angle? Are you trying to hold that power spot? You know, human nature is to take that power. That's what I want. I'm the boss now. I want the boss's job, you know. Or am I thinking, I want to do this job. I want to do whatever I do now to the best of my ability because I'm doing it for God. I work at the bakery. I don't do it for Flowers Baking Company. I don't do it for Ideal Bread. I do my job the best I can because God is my boss. Not because Barry Hammers is the president and said, if I don't do it, you're out of here. It's because I know that if I work shady, if I treat my guys unfairly or treat some of them better than the others, and it's going to come around. I mean, it's not no secret. It ain't a secret that I'm standing right here, you know, saying this stuff. You know, it'll get around. They'll say, oh, he's a preacher, and look at him talking about me behind my back. You know, he's talking down about me to the other guys. I mean, you just can't do that. Everything's got to be for the glory of God. Like Jerry was saying, I mean, Jerry was preaching my last point up here. I thought about marking it off a while ago because he was just going at it, you know. I mean, it don't matter what it is. Any small thing that we do in life, we need to look at it as we're doing it for Him. Every single thing. Everything. Man, that's awesome. That's why I say we have to bring God, keep God in front of us all the time. And that's, you know, we have praise and worship music. You can buy any kind of God music out there right now. I mean, anything. You can buy it from Southern Gospel. I mean, they got some heavy, heavy Christian stuff, if that's your thing, and they got it. I mean, they got electronica. I mean, rap, whatever. I'm telling you, you think of it, they've got it. And we may not like it. I may not like Southern Gospel. I'm sorry. I know there's a bunch of people who probably do. I like some of it, but I don't like it all. And that's okay. You don't have to like electronica. I like some electronica music. Thank you. I do. As long as it's talking about God, as long as it's talking about lifting God up, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, give us something. Anything I can get to put God right there. You know, I can listen to, sorry Rob, Max. I can listen to Max all day long, but how much is it bringing God right here? You know, I try to listen to, well, my family drives, listen to Air One or Caleb, because it's always God's right there. You know, if you're in a car, right there. Have you ever just worshiped God in your car? Have you ever done it? Or just when you're at home, just for no reason at all, just turn on some music, praise and worship music, and just worship Him for whatever. I was thinking, I was writing this out, and I got to thinking about, I don't do that enough anymore, you know? I can remember when I would get down at my house, by myself, no one there but me, and just turn some music on and get down on my knees and just sing to God. And I don't do it enough. I don't do it enough anymore. I don't keep Him right there. None of us keep Him there close enough ever. Oh, it just made me feel terrible when I thought about that. Tommy Walker says this, how quickly we forget what it's all about. We can get so strategic that we worship so our church will grow. Not because He's worthy, but we're doing all this because God is worthy and we want to worship Him. And this, I mean, maybe I just preaching to myself, but I dealt with that. Why am I up here? Why do I play the drums on Sunday morning? Do I play it because I want people to come to church? Because, hey, there's a dude that's awesome on the drums? I mean, seriously, I had an ego trip on that at a time, and I had to bring myself down. Why did I do it? And I had to really be hard on myself because it's supposed to be for Him. We're supposed to be doing, anybody that's up here on the stage, we're supposed to be doing that to bring Him closer, to help you get closer to Him. Not just us. We're just not up there to get our own little Jesus party with our backs to y'all, and He's all over us, and y'all are taking naps. I mean, that's why we do it. That's why we're supposed to do it, is to help you feel comfortable enough so that when you see whoever's leading just giving it everything they have, you feel comfortable enough to do it as well. You know, not that if I do it, then I'm the only one, you know. That's just a side thing. I apologize for that. I don't know. I guess it's just a thing of people just, I mean, we're just people. We just struggle with that, you know. We get, like Jerry said, we get busy. We just get a busy life. Everybody has busy lives, you know. A lot of us have a few kids. Some of us have several kids and jobs and side projects and serve projects and church. And it's real easy just to forget why we do it all. Why do we do the serve projects? Do we do it just to, we got another one? Or are we doing it, actually doing it for real to show them God's love? It's got to be what it's about. It's got to be me and Him right there. Man, I'm just excited. I know y'all can't see it on the outside, but I just feel it on the inside. I mean, He picked us. I mean, He's the one, you know. He's the one that made it all. Every single thing, if you look up and see 5 billion stars or however many billions of them there are, He made every single stinking one of them. All of them. And then He said, who cares about those stars? I want you. And it's just tearing me up. But I found this video a long time ago. It's been a few years back. I found this video, and it was at, I know some of y'all probably know who T.D. Jakes is. He's, you know, a big time preacher, pastor guy. So he has this big event at his church, this big conference, and believe it or not, brings in Steve Harvey, a comedian. Does everybody know who Steve Harvey is? He brings in this comedian. He does this, and if you haven't seen it, I mean, you need to get it and watch it. It's called Don't Trip. He Ain't Finished With Me Yet. And it's amazing. It talks about his life as growing up in church and how he's not perfect. And how we're not perfect. I mean, a lot of times we want to shun people that are in the secular world and they say something about God and we want to say, oh, they're fake. But not always. Now, sometimes they are, but not always are they fake. They're just people. They get into a system and work it, you know. I can get into a system at my job and, you know, and what if the boss says, hey, you can't tell them. You tell them this, you can't tell them that. What do you do? I mean, we're people. Sometimes you have to. I mean, sometimes you lose your job over it, but sometimes you have to, or sometimes you choose to. Let's say it that way. I can choose to do either way. But anyway, this guy, he comes in and he doesn't preach. He does this whole comedic thing, you know, and tells all kinds of, I mean, it's hilarious stuff about church people. And I mean, it's just great. I mean, if you haven't ever watched church or Christian comedy, man, it just cracks me up. I'm serious. But anyway, at the end of this thing, He's the guy that introduces people. That's kind of his thing. He, you know, if somebody comes on, Kings of Comedy, he'll introduce them coming out, you know, and he does these awesome little introductions. It's cool. But he says, what if I got the chance to introduce Jesus coming back? And I watched this, it may have been years ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but I mean, it just gives me chills all over. And before the service, I watched it again. And I didn't even have the sound turned on. And it's just amazing. It's thinking about Him. Go ahead, Jeff.
Maybe. If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way.
Oh man, it's got a buff.
You do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Amazing to me.
I mean, he you can stop it. He wasn't even there. He wasn't coming. But you sure would have thought it. Golly, it just... Man. He's amazing. God is amazing. And I don't know it enough. I don't think any of us know it enough. But anyway, I've went way over, so I apologize for that. But I do want to thank y'all for giving me the chance to, you know, a young guy to hone his stuff. You know, a lot of places won't do it. You know, you got to be right. You got to be good. So I just want to thank y'all for listening. So, don't forget, David Maloney will be here at 6 p.m. Saturday. And the letter from Waltoto is up here if you want to see it. Let's pray real quick and we'll get out of here.